It's mid-May of earlier this year. For many of us, we're experiencing a pandemic, a global pandemic. Many of us are working from home or without jobs, without food and basic needs. But for me, I'm an essential worker. So our agency stays open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's a typical day for me. I pull up to our agency. I get out the car, make sure I have my wallet, my keys, and my mask. I put my gloves on. I speak to anyone in the parking lot, wave my hand, and I scan in with my badge. I fingerprint into our time clock, and I make my way downstairs to answer a series of questions. Where have you been? Have you knowingly been in touch with anyone that had COVID-19? I get my temperature checked, and I make my way up to the elevator. Going into the elevator, and let me say, the elevator music is pretty good this time. So I'm going into the elevator, and I go up to the third floor where our department is located, and I punch the numbers and the codes to get in. I grab my favorite mug and go get my coffee, two creams, two sugars, and I grab a little snack if one is available, and I sit down at my desk. I log into our database, and I wait for a call. Now, for me, calls ranges, so I can get anyone who's calling for trying to figure out when the trash is going to be picked up. They broke their lawnmower, and they need a handyman or someone to come by to cut their lawn, or even someone that has a gun to their head that's saying, you have 60 seconds to give me a reason to live. But this day, I get a call, pick up the phone, and for the sake of the story, we call her name Sarah. She was crying hysterically, going through, in my opinion at the time, which was an anxiety attack. So I do our typical protocol, which is our breathing techniques. So I tell her to breathe in, to hold it, and to breathe out. I tell her to do it again. Breathe in. This time to hold it a little bit longer and then breathe out. After Sarah calms down, she goes on to tell me that she's a nurse in Baltimore and how she's been overwhelmed, overworked, and simply tired of living. She goes on to describe to me the hospital conditions, the lack of resources, the lack of ventilators, the lack of staff, the days she literally had to almost sleep in the hospital. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all this. She also goes to describe me some of the faces of the patients she's dealt with, faces of anguish, pain, and faces of death. One conversation she did bring up was a conversation she had, and we'll call his name Matt. He was a 40-year-old husband and father of two. Never had any health conditions, but was clinging on to his life because of COVID-19. She said that he asked her a question. He said the question he asked her was he going to be okay? Was he going to make it? Well, Matt died 2 days later after that conversation. After she said that, I sat back. I was like, what am I going to say to this woman? I'm 23 years old. I'm about 6 months onto the job. My major is criminal justice. What am I going to say? So I sit back and I remember, as a child, my grandfather always told me, son, it's one thing to hear something, but it's another thing to be listening to something. I said, okay. So I'm listening to her talk, and she's telling me some more information. And she said, well, say something. So I said, well, don't worry, Sarah. I'm listening. Good thing is, she was able to calm down. We was able to set her up with some mental health resources, as we usually do. And we was able to, she had private insurance. We was able to see what insurance carrier she had to give her the correct information so she can get a therapist and some treatment. But the most important part in all of this is, days, weeks, and months passed. And my supervisor came in. She said, hey, you know, you got a someone called by the name of Sarah, and they wanted to say thank you. So, again, the job that I do, a lot of times I have to switch my mindset, because I can go from one call to a person needing this to another call with a person needing something that doesn't even have anything to do with the last call. So a lot of times I don't even remember the caller that I talked to by the end of the day. So I went into the database and I typed their information in and I saw her number and I decided to give her a call. Say, hey, Sarah, and began to talk, and she said, thank you for listening to me that day. That's truly all I wanted. So that story really touched me in a way. I was 6 months onto the job. I was new to the whole field. But thanks to the agency, most of all, thanks to my grandfather, who's been deceased now for approximately 13 to 14 years, who told me the importance and showed me the importance of listening and providing a listening ear to people that need help. So what I say to you today, and what I say to everybody, this is a trying time, but always know that you have a listening ear. Our agency is here, and thank you so much for the story, and please, everyone, stay safe. Thank you.